Hello again, and welcome to episode 9 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me...
James Ross.
Bryn Monroe.
Ben Meredith.
Lydia Nicholas.
And who are you playing?
I'm Sir Bertrand Bertie McGuffingham.
I'm playing Hamid, the halfling sorcerer and man about town.
Zolf Smith, the now clean dwarven cleric.
Sasha Rackett, the... don't know where I'm from. No one knows. I'm just a person. No, why am I even here? No, that's fine. Stop looking at me.
Just having an existential crisis in the podcast.
Stop looking at me. No, I'm a character. Characters is a difference.
Okay, so quick recap. The fire at Edison's, the simulacrum was either destroyed or stolen or something. You guys managed to save a bunch of people, chase down the people who had taken it. Well, I say chase down, they managed to get away. But you tracked them down, like the route that they took, into the sewers. And there was a brief period where Zolf was swimming in poo.
Yes.
You guys managed to find both the head and arm. I've never spelled that out. The right arm of the simulacrum.
Mm-hmm.
And
as opposed to the wrong arm.
Yay!
Oh.
See, James, that was... brilliant.
But we return the right arm to the long arm of the law, and now the narrative continues.
So it can do no more arm.
No more. Seriously, stop trying to give me a hand.
You need to elbow out.
Right. Oh. So you guys managed to return the right hand of the simulacrum. No puns. Right hand of the simulacrum to Sergeant Haringey, who then paid you. You guys have gone to rest at Hamid's and accepted the further investigative work of tracking down the people that took it. Any plans, either take them, if they've made any more, destroy them, and bring people back by hook or by crook. Uh-huh.
But so first, we're going shopping.
Luckily, we completed the shopping trip between episodes.
Yeah, shopping in Pathfinder takes
during the commercial break.
Of a week.
Yep.
Basically the week where they bought things.
We went off to Dubai. That's basically the only purpose.
Oh, that's what we do. We just go on holidays all the time. Yep. So they all did their shopping already. What we're going to do is we're going to say that basically we'll join the party after you guys had a good night's rest. There was the awkward moment of you all waking up in the same flat that you managed to navigate and you did your shopping. What I'll ask is what you guys bought, but there's really no need to go through how we worked everything out. And we will do a metacast at some point discussing equipment and good uses for different classes and things. But right now, just if people can let me know what they bought. So, starting with you, James.
Cool. So, my character, he, during one of the previous episodes, one of the falcon pauldron eyes got knocked out. So I've had that replaced with, I believe the technical term is an ever-burning torch.
Sure, yeah. We're reskinning that as basically working it into the armour. I don't have a problem with that.
Like basically a gem that performs the same function.
Technically you should be paying more because it's an item that you don't have to hold. Frankly, I don't care. I just don't care. Oh. I should, but I don't.
For extra fanciness, it can be switched on and off because the falcon has got like a little eye patch and you lift it up and the light shines out and you close it and it's no longer shining.
Sure. The item that it's actually from, the ever-burning torch, is normally meant to be a literal like fire on a stick, as Ben's described it before. It's a flaming torch. The idea being that it only goes out if it's wanted to, but you can take it underwater, you can take it into oxygenless environments and it'll still burn. But yeah, it makes no difference to me whether you reskin it or not.
How much does it cost?
Oh, and the ever-burning torch costs 110 gold. Which brings me down to 100 gold because I start off with the rich parents' special ability, which is I have the ability to have rich parents. That's not the way that opportunity works, I'm afraid. But
and Bryn, what did you buy?
So I bought. I also had rich parents, but I had a lot more money left from my rich parents than James's character. I spent 250 gold on 5 potions of cure light wounds and distributed them amongst the party.
Sure,
That's well nice, Hammond. It's a bit. Like, is there anything? I don't have anything to give you.
I didn't buy you anything. Right?
We're a team. Yeah, you don't need to.
Okay.
Bottoms up, hey.
No, Bertie, no.
And Ben,
I bought a health potion of myself, so I now have 2. And a healer's kit for the mundane healing, so setting broken bones and make sure things don't get infected and just general useful things.
Yep. And last but not least?
I only had the 110 gold that came from that sort of payment, and so I spent 100 of that on Masterwork Thieves' Tools for the picking of the lockings.
Definitely. We'll be doing a Metacast guide at some point about how to basically, good ways to play rogues. Your first thing you should buy should really always be Expert Thieves' Tools if you can get them.
And the remaining 10 I spent on 2 daggers because I had thrown daggers into the fire in the previous fight.
And they're under a house currently.
Yep, they are currently. So I now have 6 daggers, which I think is a nice amount.
It's a nice round number.
It's a nice round number.
Even numbers are your friends when you're a two-handed, dueling fighter.
Yep. So I've got 2 of them are winched into my lovely, spring-loaded wrist sheaths that favorite. I already had. Which are lovely hidden in my...
Oh, they're going to get better when you put wands in them. You can put wands. Up. And then fire...
Spring-loaded wand sheets.
Yeah, you can fire fireballs out of your sleeves.
I don't like it.
Okay, so we will pick up where you have just finished your shopping trip. Flala! You guys are stocked up, shopped up, and you're currently stood... Let's say the square outside Edison's again. It's a nice known place that's fairly central. Go.
Suppose.
Right.
I don't remember where the manhole cover is. I don't think. Does anyone? Because I think.
I do, yes. I wrote it down.
Okay. Excellent. Well done, man.
Good man.
You said you had contacts in other London who might be able to help us.
No. Like, what I said was that I know my way around.
That's fine. Look, we'll be in and out quick as possible. First sign of trouble, we'll make sure to. Well.
Hit it really hard with this! True. Draws my sword. And then I'm going to unsheathe the eye patch.
Bertie.
What? I'm practicing.
That's nice. It's good. No, wait. It's good. Let's save it for the
first.
Do it on the night.
Right. Spoil my fun. Shoot the sword.
You're gonna be like. You're gonna be so obvious down there. It's gonna be. I mean, you're
think
obvious
about
up here, but like that is.
Think about it. If you're standing next to him, who are they gonna go for?
Well, that's always the plan, right?
There you go.
But you're...
Me, I'm brilliant.
There you go.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They're okay. Going to love... They'll come straight to me and I will shake them heartily by the hand and say,
I
am Sir Bertrand Bertie McGuffin. You can call me Sir Bertrand and they will love me.
That will go down a storm.
If there was a way to maybe make us look a bit less neat or obvious, like, Hamid, you look pretty glamorous in that suit. That's going to stick out. Just while we're down there.
You want
there,
me to look not my best?
What? Think of it like being your best
can
for
you use,
other London.
Can you use that hanky thing to make yourself look less good?
I suppose, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I mean, how would that even work?
I'm not sure I understand.
Right, so like, if we want to be able to ask anyone questions instead of them just ripping off all your fancy suits... You're going to need to at least look
Depends
normal.
On the question you ask.
I do look normal. This is how I always look.
You don't look normal.
We need to blend in.
Yeah. Think of it like being
like a disguise.
Yes.
Disguise yourself.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You are playing a role, pretending to be another person.
Like fancy dress.
That
poor people.
Yes, well done, Bertie. As always, you cut straight to the heart of the matter.
Hello, I've come as a poor person.
Look how poor I am, goodness me. Look, I don't have pockets. I cast I cast prestidigitation. I mask my hair. I create the appearance of holes worn through and patches in my suit. And I apply dirt as liberally as I am capable of doing without hating myself.
Single tear rolls down your cheek.
That's good. That is good. That'll make you feel.
I have seen
the
poor
line
people
of
crying. Very good.
I'm going to be honest, Sasha. I mean, looking at Hamid when he's put on as much dirt as he can handle, what he's done is a really artful kind of smudge just on the one cheek to make him look kind of pained and artistic, as opposed to, you know, rolled in dirt or anything.
It'll only last 5 minutes until he gets filthy anyway.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you don't think that me and Zolf need any scuffing up?
No, I think you've whatever costuming you've done, you've been really very effective. Well done, both of you.
I do try my best.
Thank you very much.
Now, you in particular, young lady, so yes.
New leather jacket.
Well, and, well, very, very, very wise, very sharp it looks too.
So, Hammond, if you want to work your magic on Bertie here?
I don't think that's necessary.
I don't know how I would, really.
Can that thing, I see you put holes in, can you put dents, fake ones?
From a game mastering point of view, you can do minor changes like that, but you couldn't do a disguise from it.
I could try doing this. I use prestidigitation to make it look like his armour is rusty.
Yeah, you can do that.
So it's still falcons everywhere.
But all the falcons look sad now. Right.
I'm letting you stretch prestidigitation about as far as
I've
it can
go. I've got a disguise kit.
Oh yeah, like if you try to help him out, you can make a big difference.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Prestidigitation, like I'm I said, gonna, it's non-mechanical,
I'll be like,
so it's,
right,
it's
so
not the most...
Well,
Hammond,
like,
much as
like
I appreciate your efforts, I'm just going to step in here a bit. And so I just pick up some dirt and apply liberally. In the disguise kit, it has the lovely sort of oil-based paints that look like stay. You know, so I can apply it predictably.
Okay, give me a disguise check for Hammond and a disguise check for Bertie.
Oh, good lord. Okay, so...
This will be Hammond first, because I said
Hammond,
his name first.
4 plus 3.
Do you get a... Does the disguise
kit
give you a bonus?
Kit. Yeah, I couldn't remember what...
As far as I'm aware, the disguise kit...
Or does it just allow it?
I think it's about not getting a penalty.
I think it just negates like a -3.
So
7 is where he basically looks the same, maybe a little bit more dirt on him.
But resentful. I don't see it on the resentful.
The resentful help. That goes down well in other levels.
Right. And for Bertie, 12 plus 3, so 15.
How, now as a game master, how would you go about disguising armour?
Right, so obviously...
Hello, I am a tank in man form. A gleaming tank made of gold.
Obviously, I can't
make me look poor.
I can't disguise much of it, but so there's... I make his shirt or anything that is hanging out at all, like any ruffs.
In fairness, you could probably find something like a cloak covering in something.
Yeah.
And you can make the armour more tarnished.
I'm going to put a cloak around him. I'm also going to really scuff up the handle of his sword, like so that looks all... Yeah, there's grub on it all over his face.
Okay.
He just looks like he's been through a lot of sweaty fights, but has not really cleaned.
You're looking much more like, I think, a mercenary should, actually.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Should I note down any, like, mechanical effects?
Not really. It's going to come down to me and people, whether they recognise you or not, and stuff like that.
So I'm quite well disguised.
So you're in the middle of the square, and everyone's watched Sasha cover you with dirt and all kinds of muck.
Thinking about it, that wasn't the best move.
We're rehearsing a play. Everyone relax.
We probably should have done that before we left the house.
Or down the sewer. Down the manhole.
Sorry, if we don't think it's taken, I'll just kick you guys in that drain. Get to find out what it's like.
So, what do you guys do then?
Time to head down, I guess.
Yep, definitely is.
I mean, if we want to spend more time on the disguises...
No, let's go.
So, presumably Hamid leads away if he noted where the manhole was. Cool, yeah, you guys head there. You get to the manhole cover. It looks like it's been replaced. It is not a tall order for Bertie to remove it once he's, you know, at the right level and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So you guys head back down.
I'll put it back.
Which one do you go down? I should clarify. Do you go down the one that was Willikins and Brothers in his shop, or via the external one?
The external one. It was what I was thinking.
The one right over the staircase that we came out.
I assumed as much. Yeah. So you head down that and you start clomping down the staircase, presumably. Mm-hmm. Clang, bang, clang, bang, clang, bang, clang, bang. Eventually you make it down to the level that Sasha poked her head at and saw was a bazaar.
Should we start asking in there, or should we go further down?
Maybe one floor down, we'd come out of floor level of the market rather than above all the awnings.
That's definitely a good
idea.
Okay.
We'll take our lead from you. You're the one who's experienced.
So, the thing to remember down here is that no one will tell you nothing. No one will trust you. And no one will have seen anything. And...
God, that sounds hard.
I don't know, it's pretty much along the lines with Bertie's perception checks.
So, we'll have to find some way to convince people or, like, get them to trust us, which...
We could bribe them?
Well, I don't know. I don't have cash, but we'll see.
I've got a little bit. I didn't bring very much. There's I thought that wouldn't be a great idea.
There's many ways to lever a person down here. And we've got skills in them all.
I mean, I've got a big pointed stick.
Yeah, I've got small pointed sticks.
I have charm on this face.
Yes,
smiles winningly, at almost too winningly, excessively winningly, at all of the other members of the party.
We, I suppose, leave you smiling and go down one more floor.
Sure, yeah. You head down one more floor, and you come across a door which is not intended to be opened from the other side. So basically there's bolts and stuff, you could pull it apart. You'd have to unlock it, because it still would require a lock. But
we can use your master locksmith.
Yeah, you will. Lock things. 14 plus 3.
Yeah,
right.
you're good.
Cool. Yeah,
many bonuses.
Beat that lock. Yeah. Booty, you lock.
You don't need to. You don't need to hit it. You can use your little pick.
Oh, oh. Oh, I didn't even think of that.
I've got a master locksmithing. Just a hammer. It's just a hammer. Well, it works.
So you open that lower door, and you it opens outwards, and you open it a little bit and encounter a bit of resistance, like you've pushed up against something. And there is the sound of voices very close to it.
Anyone seen through?
If you poke your head through?
Yeah, I
sure. You're basically the back wall of someone's stall. Like, it's a door that just, it's always been locked, so why would anyone bother? So they've set up a stall just plonked right in front of it. So you're opening up into what looks like a, let's call it, it's a shop that's selling butchered rat.
Nice.
Where's the shopkeeper?
The guy's there on the other side is going, "This is prime rat! This is prime rat! Obviously it's prime rat! Look at it! This is bigger than your arm! Maybe not your arm, bigger than my arm!" The guy's not particularly tall, and he's, no one has no issue yet.
I try and sneak out the side of the stall, so I get out the back. I begin to realise as I'm doing this that this won't work for the whole party.
You know what? I'm not even going to get you to do a check for this one, because it's home turf and it's no one's looking out for you, so yeah.
I slide out and then only come through when I've made it ready.
Tell you what, we'll say there is a rack of shelves which the door was pushing up and just pushed forward a little bit. Yeah. So you're behind a rack of shelves with rats sort of hanging from them.
Right, come out when the coast is clear, okay? Yep, Zolf, you tell him when to come out.
All right, we'll do.
Okay, so I sneak out and I try and get around the front to the front store where the rats are loaded.
Yeah, no problem.
Hello.
Powerful opening gambit.
I love charisma.
No, that's fine.
I got minus one charisma, guys.
You're like, darling, here
for you guys are my friends. This is as good as it gets.
While she's talking to the shopkeeper, I'm going to attempt to sneak out without attracting attention.
Sure, we'll do the sneaks and then we can roleplay the conversation depending on how successful people are.
What is it that you're selling?
I rolled an 18, so once again, 24 18? On my stealth check.
Hamid's out and quick and easy. Well, this is prime rat cup.
What makes it
sorry,
prime
bear with,
rat?
Bear with me, lovely. If you're not going to buy something, go away. The other person goes, right, so, well, this is, you know, prime rat. I mean, look at this. This one, this is hand-reared. I reared this myself.
Where do you do the rearing?
Well, obviously, it's all reared locally. We locally source all of our organic rats.
Right. What do they eat, the rats?
I advise another sneak roll, by the way. Basically, when you guys decide to roll is when I'll assume you're still
sneaking. I'll kind of sidle out and just see if...
Give me a sneak roll, because you're clanking and
stomping. I'm not really trying to sneak, I'm just sidling. Like, just being unobtrusive and not like a... Ooh.
I can see, so I begin to talk loudly.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't believe that you could rear rats this good in this kind of place. How dare you?
Obviously, the way that you rear a good rat is you feed it a good diet, i.e. rat.
Right.
Right? These are rat-bred, rat-fed rats.
Right, but that doesn't make any sense.
Of course it does. It seals in the flavour, love.
It seals in what flavour? The flavour?
Right!
I think
you're a liar.
I think we're rolling now.
You're rolling first. You're definitely
I'm not sneaking. I'm just sidling out. But when
he's
I saw
even,
that he was arguing, I was just like...
Bothering.
Oh, right.
She deliberately started an argument, but you're going to have to. You're wearing full plate armour.
All right.
And you're not exactly subtle without it.
Yep. Okay, so what
I'm waiting for you to come out singing your own theme tune.
Yes.
Sneak, 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 sneak.
It's like a sitcom. Hey, everyone! Okay, what's
sneak, that's down by the S's on the skill checks. Yeah. Okay.
However,
minus eight.
Oh, God.
Do you roll? Take your medicine.
7 minus 1 is my...
Excellent.
No, is you can't feed rat like that.
Well, that's obviously you can crash the door, sort of. You try and sneak through. Like, you're being really careful, really adorably careful. However, as you sidle out, the shelves lean more and more as more of your breastplate sneaks out.
Can I make
out.
A reflex save to stop it?
Since I'm there. Yeah, you know what? I'll allow that. Go on.
No, 6.
You can try.
I will try.
So what happens is, basically, you knock the shelves off, Zolf steps out to grab them, it falls on Zolf, covering him in this guy's rats. Like, what are you doing in my stall? What are you doing in my... You!
I
just
don't
turns
know.
To look at Sasha.
I've already turned, gone around the corner.
Nice. He turns to look at Sasha, she's not there. I'll have you! He reaches down, starts trying to dual-wield rats.
At this point, pomp and pageantry with intimidate.
Roll it first.
Okay. 9. Intimidate plus 1 is 10. And the charisma is the thing I'm rolling on with that? Or is it?
But it should already be included in your intimidate score. Yeah. So yeah, so the reason you have 1 for intimidate is because your charisma. Cool.
But I'm spending twice as long doing it, so I have 11.
11. Roleplay it and you'll see whether it worked.
Right. So what was the last thing that you said?
I'll have you. And he's sort of picked up these two rats.
Now, young man, are you
young
absolutely...
Young man, I'm twice your age, mate.
Very young man. Are you absolutely sure? You absolutely sure?
I've had bigger than you.
Really? If you cast your tiny mind back, have you? In all your long, depressing, tedious, tiny, irrelevant, common, poor people years, have you ever had anyone as big as me? Anyone as big as my thigh? Willing to bet I could kill you by breathing on you a little bit harder than I already am. Leans right in. Any closer? Any closer? If I breathed any harder... I mess your eardrums right up.
Are you sure this isn't seduction?
could be a seduction if you wanted to go that badly.
The guy just goes, what do you want? Why? I've got no money, I've got rats.
During this little altercation, I'm clambering out from underneath the shelves. It was just a mistake. Tripped.
Don't mind us, just passing through. Nothing to see here.
And
Bertie just strolls out.
No, it seems to have worked. The guy is glowering after you, but he doesn't seem to have tried to beat you up with a rat or anything.
Alright.
I think I've left, because I had... Oh gosh, no, I didn't have any coins left.
No. you're right back into standard Sasha.
Yep, standard Sasha. Like, I have... Maybe I could take a coin
whilst
from...
Whilst all this has been going on, I've been starting to scout the other stalls. Are they all food stalls here?
Yeah, it is all wholesale food. There's cabbage. A lot of the greens look kind of pale. You know, Sasha would know this. If you want to tell him this, feel free. I'll just update you, though.
Yeah, I can... Well, there's strange sort of eels, not fish, hanging down. Things that obviously grow in sort of shallow pipes.
Where would we
go
to find alchemical supplies? That's what we need to look for.
Oh, well, far away from here. Maybe another level down. North London's good for alchemicals.
Well, let's head that in that direction. It's a long walk. The quicker we start, the quicker we'll get there.
I mean, a lot of the thing is that people do this stuff under the table. You're not going to get, like, because they don't want to attract the police.
Well, you must know some people, right? Whoa, what happened to my accent? You must know some people, right?
I know some of the places people would go.
Well, let's just head there.
Yeah, so, like, let's go to the north end. There might be some of the shopkeepers that can tell us things. My contacts are people that you want to talk to, not... It's not just for me, I'm saying that.
That's fine.
I don't mind talking to people. I love talking to people. People are lovely.
I'm going to say that you guys are starting to walk as the conversation carries on, basically. So, you know what? Everyone give me a perception check.
Oh, not terrible.
Okay. I might even have the highest roll. I have 17 minus 1, which is 16, which for Percy is...
Well, everything's bright, new and shiny down here, by which I mean mucky, smelly and horrible. But it's still new.
18.
Mm-hmm.
10.
23.
Shocker. In fairness, it makes sense that Sasha would be walking through a bazaar and knowing what she's seeing. So you start walking through. It becomes readily apparent that most of the stuff is grown down here. The stalls that you do see that are selling stuff that you would the upper London gang would recognise as, you know, proper produce is, like, clearly the best stalls. They're probably paying people to bring it down here and stuff like that. You keep going through the market stalls and eventually you work your way through the crowds.
Guys, you've got to try some of the salted eel.
Absolutely fine. I just think we should get on with what we came here to do.
You sure, Zolf? You never tried salted? Do they serve it on ship? Look,
I have tried salted eel. Actually, I've tried it from all over the world.
Well, do you want to try some of the special other London?
Do you have a job to do? But tell you what, afterwards we'll do a tour.
I'm going to be walking quite a long way.
I had a big breakfast.
You get to a basically a doorway that is leading through to what looks like another bazaar, and there's a couple of well-muscled guys who are holding what look like clubs, effectively just a length of pipe and a length of wood, and just standing there. You, Sasha, recognise this as a standard toll. You ain't going to be going from one room to another without paying at least a few copper.
Guys, like, what you probably want to do as soon as possible, and not even with the guards, is change one of your golds to something that people notice down here. A silver, a copper. Like, no one uses gold down here.
Well, I've got some silvers and coppers.
You've got silvers and coppers? Yeah. All right. So, as we go through, they're going to ask you for a couple of coppers.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, basically, the two guards are just, you know, arms crossed, shoulder to shoulder.
I'll give them a silver for the four of us.
They raise their eyebrows, give a bit of a nod, and just step aside, let you through.
Next time, don't do that. Don't pay. Don't be generous. Generous gets talked about.
Oh, okay.
Cool. You guys carry on heading through, and you seem to be heading through something that's closer to what you'd recognise as a more normal market, like not specialised. So it's, you know, clothing, food, basic items. You're noticing that most of the stuff, like the real high-end shops here, look like charity shops. You're in, it almost feels like those Victorian stations that you'll get in England sometimes with like metal trellis work and stuff. So it seems like this is a larger area rather than the sort of sewagey bits that you were going through. There's remnants of buildings along the edges of it, and it looks like you're walking through a large square, but there are like the crumbled down remains of what looks like an old bank on the left hand side, and some kind of tailor.
How high are the ceilings?
The ceiling is, you know, maybe 50 foot up, something like that. It's a decent height. It's clearly load-bearing, though, like it's big iron girders and things. The shops that are at the edges, some of them look like they're still in use, and those are clearly the upmarket ones. By upmarket, I mean Bertie could buy something that would feel like he'd bought it third-hand on top, and they're like, you know, they're clearly the upmarket. They have their own lighting, for instance, stuff like that. Heading through, you see a few kids are playing some kind of bat and ball game. Most of them are barefoot. The floors, in fairness, don't seem to be terribly covered in like glass and stuff, but it's most likely because of the amount of traffic. It's really crowded, and there is this kind of mulchy underfoot, which is probably half like paper rubbish, and it's just made this kind of like urban mulch. As you head through, though, Sasha, you notice a few kids start swarming around Bertie. Just because he's a guy in armour, you don't see it often. They're kind of pouring at him a bit. Give me one more perception roll, though.
Oh, 5 plus 6, so
11. 11? Yeah, one of them is reaching up and just trying to nick his pocket.
Bertie, just pay some attention to...
I pick up the child.
Give me a reflex save. Okay. It's a small kid and they're fast.
My reflex at one, that's 5.
The kid quickly plucks, let's say, one of your money belts. It'd be stupid to keep everything in one, but nonetheless, he sort of plucks a money pouch. See Sasha looking. It's a young boy.
I dive after him.
Go for a reflex save.
15.
That's good.
Plus 5.
Okay, kid makes it away, but only just, like, you're sort of scraping the back of the thing, and it starts darting off, running through the crowds towards a sort of more open area on the left-hand side. Looks like he's making his way, in fairness, it looks like he's making his way to north, but he's making his way through a door at that time, and reaching into the pouch as he runs. He doesn't look older than about 10. On that, before you decide what you're going to do, I'm going to take a brief break, and we'll get back to this in a couple of minutes.
Cool.
Hello there, I'm James.
And I'm Alex.
All the way from Rusty Quill Towers. Now, this August...
That's August 2015. If you're listening in the future, then we're all dead and apes have taken over the Earth!
Ah, curse you, apes! You are the source of most of my problems. Now, we're both doing shows at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival this year, and we'd love you, specifically you, to come along. My show is a stand-up show. It's called James Ross Lepidoptera. It's on from the 8th until the 29th of August, except on Wednesdays, at 4:45 at Globe Bar on Nidri Street. Now, it will be literally the best thing you've ever seen if you've had a very narrow life and an extremely limited field of experiences.
And I'm directing a sketch comedy show with a group called Casual Violence. The show's called Om Nom Nom Nominous, and it's on at the Pleasance upstairs at 11:15pm from the 20th to the 23rd. If you like those nightmares where you run screaming from a monster only to realise it was actually just trying to invite you to a show but you didn't realise, so you instead stayed home alone and watched reruns of Magic Roundabout whilst crying, then this is the show for you.
It is the show for me.
Yeah. So, we hope to see you there, and we hope we don't disappoint you too much if it's the first time you've met us.
I am not going to disappoint you. I'm really impressive.
You're a joy. Anyway, with that, let's get back to the show.
Let's do that thing.
And welcome back. So, Sasha has just by, like, centimetres missed grabbing the orphan kid who's tanking it off towards... A door, basically, whilst running off with Bertie's coin purse.
I think I've been explicitly warned not to flash the cash around, and I'm dim, like, that dim.
Yeah.
So I think, what a young scallywag. That's 20. Oh, right down the drain.
The little kid's already looked in the pouch, hasn't he?
So... The kid was running, looked in it quickly, closed it and accelerated very quickly when he saw what was in it.
I think it is more sensible to stick with the team because they are obviously hapless. So
I resent that.
Some of the team are obviously hapless.
Bertie's so, still surrounded by kids, by the way.
So I run back and just like, get off him! Get off him! Get off Bertie! You can't... No! Just like... push him away.
They basically give you rude signs and stick their tongues out.
Yeah, I know. I can read their signs. Other London Sign Language.
Yeah, you do. But yeah, they back off. They all of these are clearly marks. They're not so much with you.
No. Guys, you've got to be careful. No, and like once he tells everyone how much was in there, like that's more than a lot of these shops are worth. They'll be after you. Like.
Then let's keep moving.
Just out of character. Would there be a way for me to? Because I'd like to conceal the money now that I've had some stolen. I think even Bertie will realise that maybe.
Sure, it'd be as simple as literally taking it off your belt and hanging it like inside your curious. There's a bit of space there. Stuff
I
like
do that.
That.
Yeah.
Yep, that's fine. That
Everyone
makes total
hide
sense.
Everything of value.
Okay.
We keep going north. Yeah?
Okay. Yeah, you keep going north. You're still heading in the same general direction as the kid. He happened to run in the same way. Obviously, eventually you reach the edge of the bazaar into the empty space that the kids were playing ball. And they turn and look at these guys because honestly they're interesting. Nothing, they're not running over or anything. It's mostly just you make it to another door with a couple of guys there who are asking for a bit of cash.
Are they still asking only for some coppers?
These guys are only asking for some coppers. The kid slipped past them. It didn't look like the kid like paid them or anything.
Right.
I will hand them a few coppers.
Yeah.
The appropriate amount of money changes hands.
Yeah.
Sure, that's fine. They don't raise an eyebrow and let you through.
Have I recognised anyone so far?
You've not recognised any personal friends or anything like that. You have recognised a couple of the kids you've seen before, and certainly some of the stalls have been there a long time. Whether the kids have recognised you...
Yeah, standing with such obvious
people. That'd be sense motive. If you want to know, you can.
How does sense motive work in sort of seeing if anyone has?
Sense motive is quite a broad one. It tends to come down to a GM discretion. Uh-huh. What I tend to say is the broader the scope of the sense motive, the less detail you're going to get. Okay. If you're in like an intense interrogation, you sense motive, that's going to be a very different result because you're reading like micro facial stuff. But if it's a big group of kids, you'll know animosity, do they recognise you? Big, broad strokes.
Okay, so I'm going to do sense motive on the kids that are staring at
us.
Oh, one.
One?
Yep, natural one. I scream my motive.
You start trying to get a bead on them, and then you see someone moving sort of amongst that group, and you get completely distracted, and for a brief moment you're convinced that someone's about to try and mug them, and then it's like, oh no, oh, and then the moment's passed and the kids are playing again, so
right. Okay, well, we keep heading, I guess. I think we're in that rough direction.
You start heading, you're heading between sort of buildings, and now you're heading down, we'll call them streets in inverted commas. Have you ever seen like photos of bombed out buildings and things like that? Yeah. Like post-disaster stuff? Mm-hmm. It's very much a case of people just set up shop in what was left of the buildings and made do. So there's lots of sort of, there's corrugated iron across what used to be a hole that was caused by the flood and things like that. Yeah. Lots of housing, it's very, very dense. It's not quite a slum, but it's dark. All of the lighting is coming from inside out of the buildings. There's no ambient outdoor light. No one's doing street lamps or anything. It's very much, you sort your own light out. And there's so many people doing so that there's enough to go by. So for Zolf, no problem. For Hamid, you don't have
low light. I don't get vision.
So you and Bertie, it's quite dim.
I keep advising you to keep the Falcon's eye covered.
Yeah,
that's a bright light. So heading through, there's a few kids and stuff like that. You seem to be heading through a sort of residential district. You're starting to draw near territories that you would have encountered though, Sasha. Like the far edges of your old one. Sure. Describe this disguise for me.
And where do you put it on?
Oh yeah, so good point. I duck behind, like I said, guys, just wait. I assume, since if this is bombed out buildings, that whilst large spaces will have been taken over to be dwellings, there might be the odd kind of little architectural quirk where I can just dive behind.
There is. There's still a couple of... I mean, most of the rubble's been reappropriated, but you dug behind what looks like it was part of a wall or something that's too sternly mortared to be removed.
So I have dark hair, which is irritating, because it's not easy to change colour. Maybe I put some red through it, so it looks kind of like a sort of...
I'm happy to say that you picked up a couple of dirt cheap, like a couple of copper wigs when you went shopping.
I mean, it's made of a mop. something in there that helps me kind of, like, so I put a hat on and then there's just a little fringe of, because I only have very short hair to start with, a thing of, like, red hair just peeking out the front.
I get you.
So that it at least looks like I've got that colour of hair. Mm-hmm. And just a little bit of contouring to make my face look slightly different. I don't know how contouring works, so I'm gonna.
You can add shadowing so that it makes your cheekbones more prominent, and it.
I just look different.
Sure,
but obviously it's just a basic disguise kit.
It's a quick fix.
Someone that knows me really well in a chance encounter will still get it. But...
Well, we'll find out.
And it'll give me the roll.
Yeah. 9 plus. I suppose disguise.
Yep.
Which is 3. So 12.
12. It's solid.
Yeah.
It's enough to deter a casual glance, but not much more. Presumably you rejoin the group and carry on?
Yep.
Well, so while Liz's doing this, just turn to you two and go, so gents, how are you enjoying other London?
Well, I just think we could be getting on with things a bit quicker.
Fair enough. Not comfortable?
Don't like it.
Well, I'm glad I had such excellent opinions from you both.
Oh, Hamid's not liking this. Hamid is not liking this. Okay, so yeah, you rejoin them and presumably carry on. Yeah, you make your way through the residential district and you start making your way in towards a significantly seedier district. And can all of you give me perception checks?
I have 5. 24. 23. 21.
Okay. Yeah, but you got a big sword.
That's true.
So yeah, you head in and all three of the people who have sight see that there's a lot of barely concealed underhanded stuff going on. As in, it's very much like there is a shop that sells tomatoes and it has a bucket of nominally tomatoes, except
brackets,
he keeps
drugs.
Except he keeps reaching in, lifting a tomato, handing something to someone, and it's not a tomato, and replacing the tomato he picked up.
It's like an orange.
It's nominally a market, and honestly, for the two of you who aren't from other London, why would they bother? You know, it's so blatant. But it's very clear that Sasha's brought you to the right place. Hamid, you notice off right at the edge of the market, the boy that nicked Bertie's pouch is talking to someone in the shadows of sort of an alleyway between two remnants of a building.
I cast message targeting Sasha so that I can whisper to her without even stepping next to her and point it out.
Describe casting message, bearing in mind it has a vocal and somatic. I'll allow it to be subtle. In fact, I think you can do a concentration check to make it unobservable.
It's going to look like I'm muttering and sort of scratching at my face a bit and like adjusting.
Okay, can you do me a favour and give me a concentration check just because like you are trying to disguise it? So normally, to spell it out for listeners, when you're casting a spell, it's big, it's flashy, blah, blah, blah. You can take effort to minimise that with a concentration check, but it's not... it's not making it silent or unnoticeable. It's just passing it off.
I rolled a 12.
Okay. That'll be enough. It's you're in a busy place and no one's really...
Yeah. So I'll point that out to Sasha.
Do it in character. You may as well. It's a message.
Sasha, over at our 2 o'clock, I think that's the boy who stole Bertie's pouch.
You're right. Do I get to message back?
Yeah. It's like a whispered conversation.
Unrelated, because we're getting CD area. We'll get the trident out. Ready. Just have a readied weapon, basically.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people turn and look at the most unusual weapon that's been here in a while.
Yeah, that's why.
I have no idea what's going on. I think I'm in a greengrocer's.
I'll have 3 bananas.
Oh yes, we have no bananas. We have no bananas today.
I sneak over to where the little boy is talking to the other guy to get a better look at who he's talking to.
Do you just wander away from us?
Okay, I'll tell him via message, keep them quiet and around here. Maybe buy some, there's a salted eel store there, which is genuinely a salted eel store. It's not even drugs, so maybe try it. It's very good.
So basically it's, Hamid, you look after the kids, I'm going to go have a look and then I'll come back.
Really delicious.
So I'll just sort of go, oh, guys, do you think maybe we should just pause here for a second?
Don't pay more than 2 coppers.
Think, you know, what we're going to do next.
And I'm
going to
cut across to Sasha whilst he sneaks. Give me the sneak check.
9 plus 7, 16.
Okay. You are sneaking up.
Uh-huh.
The kid doesn't seem to notice you. You manage to get close enough. Let's say there's, it's a narrow alleyway between the two buildings. There's sort of a column,
colonnade?
Column.
There's a series of columns.
Yeah, colonnade. Sure, you basically are hiding behind a column on a colonnade. And you're able to...
Using my listening skill.
Yeah, I'm not even going to give you a perception. You manage to sneak close enough to just pick it up straight away. Like, looking around the column, they can't see you. You can see the kid's lips, but not...
Hey!
Yeah, but not the person they're talking to. And the kid's just going, I don't even need to do the other voice. Yeah, 20 gold. No, 18 gold. 18 gold. No, it's the big guy in the middle. Yeah, I reckon you can have him.
I'm within 110 feet of you, and I
definitely.
So I can say like, there's a guy here planning to attack for more of Bertie's gold. Get ready. Try and take him out before it comes to it, but I can't guarantee.
Okay, we'll be ready. And I'll just lean in a bit closer to you guys and be like, Sasha thinks we might be attacked soon. Don't do anything too obvious yet, but be ready to respond.
Well, I'm hungry. I want
salted eels. I love salted eels. Let's go get some salted eels.
The kid then heads down that alleyway. You see the pouch change hand, the kid kind of resists, but a larger, definitely an adult hand comes out, grabs it and plucks it away. And you see a guy step out, and Sasha, you recognise it as Ashen.
Yep.
The guy is fairly lanky. He's not well built. He's got a couple of scars on him, nothing particularly like massive or anything. It looks more like he's picked a few fights that he was too big for rather than anything else. He is, however, fingering a dagger in one of his hands, and you can see that he is sort of looking out over the crowds and nodding to a couple of other people. I'm not even going to get you to do a perception check. It's obvious that he's nodding to at least two, maybe...
I tell
three other people.
I tell Hamid.
Two of the people to spell it out as well have dogs.
Mm.
Like pit bull things.
Animal fights.
While
use your handle animal skill.
I do, right?
While,
I've got a minus.
While Zolf is buying an eel, I'm just going to be leaning against another column a bit further down this colonnade. And I'm just fiddling, but I'm just starting to load my crossbow and winch it back subtly.
No one's batting an eyelid, but there's a weapon here.
Yeah.
Do we actually buy eels?
I am buying eels.
You are buying eels. I got eels.
I've given you an eel.
Thank you.
Well, Bertie's got his priorities, that's all.
He wants eels. Well, I'm asking for mechanical reasons because there are dogs coming up and one of the few things I'm good at is handle animal. Provided I can spot the animal.
it's a small animal, but it's a big crowd, so probably not so much.
Where's this elephant? I don't know. But I'm sure when we do meet, we'll get on famously. That's
anyway, so, Sasha, basically you see two guys with dogs and two other guys, in addition to the one who's sort of giving the nods, start closing in. The guy who's been giving the nods holds off until the others start closing a ring around everyone.
Yep.
And then he joins suit. They're still very innocuous, sort of moving between the stalls. They're just carefully positioning themselves so that they've got the group, unaware of you, surrounded.
I am going to sneak up behind Dash and try and stab him non-fatally, if that's a thing that I can do.
Okay.
Although that does make it more difficult, doesn't it?
Here's the thing.
He probably won't die. Right, yeah. Okay, so I try and stab him.
Yeah, there's a bit of metagaming here. Technically, I should go, yes, you have to do a non-lethal. Honestly, metagaming is fine in some scenarios.
You're also aware that there's a cleric.
There's
no way, unless you were to do, like, a crit roll 100% on everything, then maybe you could bring him down in one. But I don't think you could kill him.
Okay, right.
So
cool.
You sneak up.
Yep.
Give me one final sneak to position yourself for an attack.
13 plus my stealth. So.
Okay.
20.
He doesn't see you approach, so presumably you're ching-ching?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just mutter to you guys.
Tighten my grip on my trident.
Yeah. Also, spelling out, by the way, this is totally how you play a rogue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stab him in the back.
Sorry, I'm being ready, so I'm now drawing my bastard sword.
So I'm holding.
Using Bertie's idea of what subtly drawing your bastard sword.
Describe what Bertie's idea of a subtle drawer is.
Going, I'm not drawing my sword! Putting it out massively and holding it quite high.
I think Bertie probably knows that holding it high
well,
is
not
obvious.
High. I'm not drawing
it's
my
just,
sword.
Just getting
yeah.
it mostly out of the scabbard. It's
just not here.
Just checking it. Checking it.
Looking at this for, gosh, I have a lovely complexion.
Right. So, finally.
Yep.
Oh. I was going to say as well, try it in one hand, but I've got my eels in the other because it will become a combat manoeuvre. So.
Oh, there is one, actually. I'll tell you about it after the episode.
You're going to command the loyalty of dead eels.
Yes! Fight for me!
You are to the best of your ability! Ah! How disappointing.
Well, yes, you're right.
Fought long and hard for this. Make your full attack, two-weapon, sneak attack. Roll your 2d20s, one for which is left hand and which is right hand. It matters.
Okay,
is your character left or right handed out of curiosity?
Right handed.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so.
Does it matter?
Well, main and offhand. Like, it's a good habit, really. I don't believe.
But because of her feats.
Sure. And it's a fair point. Like, mechanically, it won't make a difference, but I really want people to get in the habit of saying whether they're using their on hand or their off hand because. On hand is your dominant one.
Yeah.
If you do things with your off hand and it's explicitly stating, you know, I'm hitting someone with my shield and I don't have abilities, you have to take penalties. Yeah. So I really want people to separate.
I have specifically worked to be a dual wielding fighter.
You're fine. You're fine. I'm just setting
the
precedent.
Okay. So black is right and white is left in this case. Okay, 17 on one and 5 on the other.
Okay, so what's your attack bonus?
It's
ought to be on
there. Including the dagger, it's one. And the crit range of a dagger won't include a 17, sadly. No. You get one hit, though. Uh-huh. So you roll the damage for that one hit, which is a d4 and a d6. Plus you get your dirty fighter of a minimum of one.
So 1 plus 4, 5, 6.
Well, no, because you've got minus 1 strength as well. which effectively cancels out the dirty fight, I suppose.
Yeah. Okay, so five.
Yeah, that's the one. Honestly, it's solid. The thing is, when it comes to playing a rogue, you scale up on the damage really hard compared to everyone else. For Bryn's Magic Missile, it by the level 20, it's going to do about like twice as much, maybe?
It's 5d4.
Yours is kind of, it's almost a logarithmic. Like, it scales up really hard.
Yeah, you don't like need 8D6, to. It's fine, actually. I'm fine. I'm not disappointed.
I just don't want you down on rogues. Rogues are my favourite.
Everything, yeah.
Okay, so you do your 5 damage.
Yeah.
He sees you, he turns around, sees you, and we'll begin combat.
Roll for initiative.
No, we're going to break there, and then we'll carry again next week. Cool. Well, that was a fun one.
Yay!
Good to see Sasha in an element, even if she hates her element.
Yep.
But yeah.
Good to see Birdie out of his element.
My element is gold.
Well, thanks for listening, as always, and we hope you have a good week, and we'll see you again next week. So, goodbye, I suppose.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening. We're recording.
You don't want to test me then?
Your waveform's rather obvious, James.
Okay.
Oh, he's been looking at your waveform.
Rather obvious.
Quite the waveform you've got going on there.
Disgusting, walking around with a waveform hanging out.
Just the way I'm sitting.